All right, in case you guys haven't figured out by now, we are going to talk about the Bible today. That's our topic. The Word of God is our topic for our message today. And I'm going to be reading out of the book of 1 Thessalonians. So if you have a Bible, who has a Bible with you today? Just hold it up. Let's see those Bibles. Smartphones count too. All right, everybody goes up with the phones. All right, good deal. I'm glad you brought them today. We're going to be in chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 13 and then drop down and read verses 19 and 20, okay? So, let's jump into God's Word together. And if you don't have a Bible, you can follow along right up here or over here. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the Word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. Verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? Yes, you are our glory and joy. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, today, guys, what I am hoping is that something would begin to awaken inside of you. That something would start to stir inside of you. What am I talking about? A hunger, a desire for the Word of God. You know, I brought with me a Bible that has been important in my life from the time that I was a teenager. It's not 67 years old. But I bought this Bible about 30 years ago, and it is called the Life Application Study Bible. Let me tell you about how I came to possess this Bible. So the first Sunday I was here, I told you a story about going to Indian Springs Holiness Campground with my friend Brad, our senior year of high school. Well, one of the things outside of praying and saying, yes, Lord, whatever it is you want to do in my life at that altar one morning, another thing that really captivated me was my counselor in our cabin had one of these Bibles. And every morning and every evening, he would read from it. I'd never seen anybody read the Bible that much. And so I got to talking to him about what kind of Bible he had. Now, the version that I had brought with me to camp was this old award Bible that I picked up at a Christian bookstore. It had a zipper all the way around it. It was black, and it was in the King James Version. Y'all ever read King James Version? As a 17-year-old, didn't understand it. Kind of right over my head, those hithers and thithers and these and thous and all of that stuff. I did not understand it. So I didn't read it a whole lot. But when I saw the counselor reading his Bible, I said, I've got to have that version. And so on the way back from camp, we popped in and out of bookstores and all these little shopping centers all the way along I-20 from Atlanta all the way over. And eventually I found this very Bible. And I had a little bit of money left over from that week at camp, and I spent everything I had to buy this Bible. Now, I started reading this Bible all the time. I got me a Bible reading plan, and I started reading it all the time, morning, night, in between, at break, at work, and all kinds of stuff. I took it with me to school every day, my senior year. Big old heavy Bible we'd lug around with us. God began to really shape and transform my life because I read my Bible. Now, what I want to talk about for a minute this morning in light of 1 Thessalonians is, why is the Bible so important in our life? Why is it the most important thing in this church? It's not the stained glass windows. It's not the beautiful buildings. The most important, valuable, treasured thing that we have in this church is the Word of God. That's what makes it all happen. The Bible. And in this text that we just read a minute ago, Paul is celebrating the church at Thessalonica. Why? Because they've had a great capital campaign and paid off debt. No. No, because they put a coffee shop in the church. I vote for that. Cafe right out here. No. Paul is celebrating them because they are a community centered around God's Word. And he says, you are our joy and our crown, and we give praise to God for you because of the Word of God. Listen to what he says. He says, we never stop thanking God for the way that you received His Word. You heard it from us, but you didn't accept it as a human word. You accepted it for what it really is, God's Word, and it's working inside of you, he says. That's what Paul has Paul so excited. Now, that's what's making a difference in the church, the Word of God. Now, when you look at this verse, verse 13, you see in there mentioned several different times in different kind of ways this emphasis on the Word of God. Well, what is the Word of God? I mean, when Paul is writing this, they didn't even have the New Testament. So what's he talking about? Well, there are three different aspects of the Word of God that Paul would have been talking about. First, he's talking about the revelation and the visions and the divine encounters that the prophets had with God. God's Word coming to prophets, like in the Old Testament. The Word of the Lord came and spoke. And so the prophets received God's Word. Prophets and leaders within the community of faith like Moses. Moses received the Ten Commandments from God and the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, was given to Moses by God as revelation. And then what happens is the prophets and others start to write the Word down. So we have the written Word of God, which is your Old Testaments initially. Those first five books, add to it the prophets and the writings like Psalms and wisdom literature and things like that. They get compiled. And so the people that Paul are writing to would have had that version of the Bible. And later on, we also learn that people began to give witness to Jesus. They began to preach the gospel about Jesus. And we learn from our New Testament that that too is considered the Word of God. The proclaimed message about Jesus sent from God, earth to heaven, from heaven to earth, and how Jesus lived a sinless life. He went to the cross where he died for our sins. They placed him in a tomb, and on the third day, the Father raised Jesus from the dead in newness of life, where he ascended back to the right hand of the Father. The gospel and how those of us who commit our lives and trust in him can be saved. The gospel. So that is the Word of God. But then we also have the living Word of God that I hinted at with the kids just a few moments ago. The person of Jesus. You see, John teaches us that Jesus is the living Word. He is the Word of God incarnate. That means to put on flesh and to live among us. So Jesus embodies the Word of God. He is the Word of God. We hear these words in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen His glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John goes on to say, the law we received through Moses, but grace and truth came to us through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son, Himself God, who is close to the Father's heart that has made Him known. Jesus, the living Word. So we have the prophetic Word, the written Word, and the living Word. And Paul says that this church has received the Word of God and it is changing their life. He tells us that there are three things about the Word that has impacted their life. The first is, Paul says, he says this to them. He says that we never stop thanking God for you because of the way you received His Word. Now, if I give you something and you receive it, if you just leave it sitting at your seat, or if I come to your house and give you something and you just leave it on the doorsteps, have you really received it? No. No. You see, a couple of weeks ago, we had a neighbor that came knocking on the door and brought a gift to Debbie, to our family. And it was a chocolate chip pound cake. And I can tell you that what would she have thought about us if my wife just took that cake and put it on the front door steps, on the porch, and left it there? She probably wouldn't have thought very highly of us. It would have been an offense. Instead, we brought it in the house. We put it on the counter, but we did even something better than that. We cut off a piece about two or three times a day. At least I did. When Debbie wasn't watching, I was in there kind of carving on that thing. We received it. And I received it into myself. I ate it, and I enjoyed every bite of it. You see, Paul says, hey, guys, I give thanks to God because when you received His Word, you didn't just put it on a shelf. You didn't put it in the drawer of the nightstand. You didn't just put it on the coffee table, but you received it. You received it. And you have studied it. You have sought to understand it. You have come under its authority in your life. You see, that's what it takes to receive the gift of God's Word. We study it, we memorize it, we come underneath its authority in our life. And we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand, to give us a message, to help us to hear the voice of the Lord when we read it. So that's the first thing Paul says. Hey, you received it. The second thing he says is you believed in it. You believed in it. Listen to this. He says you heard it, but you didn't accept it as a human word. You accepted it for what it really is, God's Word. In other words, Paul is saying you didn't just receive it as human words. The Bible is more than just the written record of human beings. God uses humans to record His Word, but it is divine in its nature. It comes from God. God is the source of that revelation to us. And so we believe in it. Y'all, one of the indictments on our culture today is that many people simply view the Bible as a human book with some good teachings in it. Y'all, it is so much more than that. And I can tell you, I was listening to some things this week and people talking about the place of the Word of God in our society today. You know, there's only like 25% of Christians today that really believe the Bible is divine. I'm shocked to hear that. That can't be true, but there are people who just don't believe in the divinity of Christ or that the Word of God has come from God to us, that it's divine in origin. I'm shocked to learn these things. But y'all, Jesus wasn't just simply a prophet, a good man, a moral teacher, but He is the Son of God. And the Bible is also, it comes from God as well. And therefore, we should believe in it. And its teaching should have authority in our lives. The third thing Paul says is that this word that they've received and believed in is at work in them. That it has a transforming effect on their life. It gives them life. It has the power to shape them into Christ's likeness. And y'all, do you believe that about the word, that it can transform you? I believe that. I have witnessed that throughout my life. You know, I've ebbed and flowed in, in the amount of the Bible that I'm reading. But I'm telling you that if we would just get in God's Word, it will change us. It will begin to shape us, to make us more loving like Jesus. It'll make us more Christ-like. But y'all, we have to invite it in. We have to give the Word a place in our daily routines if it's going to change us. You can't just bring it in a home and put it on a shelf. We have to seek to understand it. But what do we do if we really find ourselves not wanting to so much? Our desire is not there. You know, one of the things that I hope that God does in your life today is to begin to give you a hunger and a thirst to read and study the written Word of God. You know, at the first of the year, I committed to reading through the Bible in the year. And I fell off the wagon a little bit right before we moved, and I got behind a little bit. But I've read all the way up through Nehemiah. Probably some of the hardest portions of Scripture up through there. So it should be smooth sailing from here. But I want to invite you, read the Bible with me. Pick up with Psalm 1 this week. And let's start reading through together. And see if God won't speak something into your life. See if you won't find yourself enjoying your time in the Word of God. Ask God to give you a love for His Word. Ask Him for that. And I believe He'll do it. You know, another thing that I want to invite you to do is just start small with maybe like 10 minutes a day. Just start reading something. If you can't read a few chapters a day, then at least start with a small chunk of Scripture and read for about 10 minutes. And here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you to utilize this acronym as you read the Word of God. It's called TIME. T-I-M-E, okay? Time. We'll put this out maybe in an email or something this week so that you can learn. This was created by Church of the City in New York City. They are a church that's committed to the Scriptures and to prayer, and they put together this little acronym, but it stands for Truth, Insight, Mission, Encounter. So start with the Word, the words of the Bible, the truth, and meditate on it. Meditate on the truth of what God's Word says. Try to understand what it's communicating. The second thing, insight. Pray, asking God to reveal something to you about Himself in that passage, or something about your own heart, your own struggles. Where does that Word, that truth, intersect with your life? Insight. Ask God to give you understanding. The third thing is mission. Ask yourself, how does this shift my life? How does it shape my life and impact my life? In other words, God, what do you want me to do about what I'm reading? Do you want me to change my attitude toward my children or my spouse? Do you want me to pray for someone? Do you want me, Lord, to give witness to you in this, what this Scripture is teaching me? What is the mission? How does it impact your relationships? And then the fourth thing is encounter. After we have encountered the truth and had insight and contemplated the mission, we then begin to just enjoy the presence of God that's been made known to us in that time of reading. God, thank you. Thank you that you have been present in this moment. Let that Scripture, especially the Psalms that just open us up in worship, just begin to give thanks and to encounter the living Word that comes to us in those moments. Yes, Lord, you are that rock. You are that refuge that I'm leaning on. Yes, Lord, I declare your praise today, Lord. Just let it begin to help you to experience and encounter God's presence. So I challenge you this week to read God's Word. You know, one of the things that we're praying for is renewal and revival in our church and in our community. And I want to tell you that before revival and renewal comes out there, it's got to happen right here, right inside of us. We want God to do something new among us. We want God to speak to us, to reveal His plan and His purpose for our church and for our life. And in order for us to lean into that, we need to get in His Word together. We need to get into the Word. So I want to encourage you to do that this week. Can you commit to that? I'm praying that God stirs up in you a hunger for His Word. Now, we're about to close out our service. And as a way of closing our service out, I just want to invite us into a moment of prayer together. Okay? Just invite us to pray. And I want to pray around two things. The first thing is that hunger. I just invite you to open up your heart a little bit and say, God, give me that hunger. If it's not there, ask Him to give it to you so that you will want to get in your Bibles this week. The second thing that I want to pray about is I was asking the Lord this weekend as I was praying and thinking about how I wanted to close out the message, Lord, give me a word for somebody. And here's what I believe God wants to say to some of you. I believe the Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to speak into your life. And I believe that some of you are hungry for that. That you're asking, you're praying, God, would you just reveal your will to me? Would you speak to me, Lord? Maybe you've been reading your Bible and it's not been speaking to you. Is that you? I want to invite you to just lean into God this morning. To get in the Word this week. And if you do that, by faith, I'm believing God will speak to you. So as our band comes up, we just want to invite just a moment of prayer around these things. Lord, we thank you that you are the living Word, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father, and that you are desiring for your people to come to you. Lord, we believe that you want to speak into our lives if we will read your written Word. You will reveal yourself to us. God, we're praying for that. We're asking you to just stir up a desire to take out our Bibles and start to read them so that we can encounter you. So, Lord, would you stir that hunger up inside of us today? Come, Holy Spirit. Make our souls thirsty. Thirsty for your Word. And God, I pray for those that are seeking you, those that have been praying that you would give them a word, that you would give them direction or guidance or help them, Lord, to know how they are to live for you. And Father, you would reveal to them your voice. Speak, Lord. For we are listening. Help our ears and our hearts to be tuned to hear your voice. thank you for the gift of the treasure that it is our Bibles. May they reveal your heart to us and lead us in the way, the truth, and the life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.